Tori Amos is the kind of artist that you might describe as a seeker. Since she started recording in the 1990s, she has used her songs to ask big questions about the world she observes. God, sometimes you just don't come through. God, sometimes you just don't come through. Time has made her powers of observation more acute. And in Tori Amos's newest album, she takes stock of the present moment. But this is also a personal project that gave her a chance to explore her own roots.
Searching for my grandfather, his stories, his essence. He died when I was 9 and a half, and there was something whereby I wanted to be in the spaces where he grew up. Standing on
the edge of the cliff. So she hit the road, traveling the mountains of North Carolina, doing something her Cherokee grandfather taught her to do. She calls him Papa, and he was a strong believer in nature's power to inspire.
Well, I was tracking the song lines of the land, his belief that we needed to spend time sitting by streams, listening to rocks, and if you get really quiet, granddaughter, they might just start talking back to you, but you have to listen really, really hard.
The album is called Native Invader, and it's equal parts about family and nature with a good dose of politics thrown in. This song is called Up the Creek. Good Lord willing and the creek don't
rise. Papa used to say that. Any question you'd ask him, will you be home for dinner, Papa? Good Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
What do you want for lunch today, Papa? Good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. You've been making music for a long time. You were at it pretty early. Five?
2 and a half, says my mother.
Come on.
That's what Mom says. They would put phone books on the piano stool so I could reach the keys. And the thing is, it was really a blessing whereby if somebody could play me something, I would play it back. And then, you know, my dad, being the guy that he is, you know, he believed in training.
He was a Methodist minister, right?
Yes. So people in the church said, look, it's one thing to be able to play by ear, but it's another thing to develop as a musician. And so I auditioned at the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore at 5 and was really fortunate enough to be admitted.
Wow. It's truly remarkable. I mean, did it ever feel burdensome to you, the discipline at that age?
Well, the problem was, Rachel, because I couldn't read music, but I could play. Although you're playing scores of musicals by ear, we had to start with 3 blind mice. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit torturous. You know, they had quarters on my hands.
Ooh. Wait, why do you need quarters on your hands?
For the shape.
The shape of the finger. The young Tori Amos stuck it out at the conservatory for several years. And while she got the training her parents had wanted, she didn't get to play the kind of popular music she craved. So at the age of 11, she left. Did your parents get over that? I mean, clearly they and your dad in particular had been invested in that kind of training for you. Did he attach with that a certain hope for a kind of career you would have?
Certainly not the one I have. And he was devastated. Mm. And I understand. But 2 years later, he said to me, you're just wallowing away. So get dressed. And we went down to Georgetown, Washington, D.C. with his clerical collar on. And he would ask the managers of these bars, will you let my daughter play? And they all looked at him like he was mad until we went to the 12th or 13th one. And some guy, he had studs around his neck. And I don't know if my father noticed that or not by this time. And he said, can my daughter play here, please? And he kind of looked at us a little strangely and said, why not?
That's amazing. So he knew you had talent. He knew you had this thing in you that you needed to get out, even if it meant taking you to nightclubs.
Yeah. Dad, I think he realized we were at a gay bar. a little while in, and when the parishioners found out about it, they were castigating him. How in the world could you take your 13-year-old daughter to a gay bar? And he said, you tell me a safer place for a 13-year-old girl than a gay bar.
What is so compelling about this album is the way it moves kind of fluidly from big existential questions about our earth and national politics to the very personal. I mean, you disclosed that story about your dad. There's also a tribute to your mom. This is a song called Mary's Eyes. Let's play a little bit.
What's behind Mary's eyes? Mary's eyes. Mary's eyes.
Would you mind sharing some of what this song is about?
Mary had a severe stroke in January.
We should just clarify, Mary is your mother.
Yes, and she is the center of our world. Her love has been something that the family leans on. Everyone goes to Mary to hear what she has to say. And Mary is partly paralyzed and can't speak. The one thing, though, that Mary wants to do is sing. Anything that she knows by heart, when she hears it, something seems to click, and she will try and vocalize.
She's a believer. Hymns locked in her memory.
Mary's eyes are so blue, and they will look at you with so much love. Even though what she's going through, it's distressing to her, and she's in pain sometimes, but she wants to be on Mother Earth so much that it's humbling to see Mary's resilience.
What's behind Mary's eyes?
The new album is called Native Invader. Tori Amos, thank you so much for talking with us about it.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.